The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And he proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We're in the second week of a brand new year. Not a calendar year, but the church year or the liturgical year. The liturgical year doesn't go from January 1st through December 31st. But it goes from Advent through Christ the King Sunday. And today is the second week in Advent, and something has changed. We have switched to a new lectionary year. In year A, last year, we focused on the Gospel of Matthew. In this year B, our focus will be on the Gospel of Mark. And we start today at the beginning of Mark's Gospel. Chapter 1, verse 1. And Mark doesn't start his gospel with a genealogy like Matthew does, excuse me, or a couple of birth stories like Luke, or something a bit more theological like John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Mark begins his own way. Chapter 1, verse 1. Mark starts with the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. There is an abruptness about the Gospel of Mark, an immediacy and a boldness. He just jumps right on in. And the first sentence is not even a complete sentence. Most theologians believe that that first phrase, and it's a phrase because if you look at it, there's not even a verb, is really the title for the entire book. The title, God's saving act in Jesus Christ. And there are so many things in that first phrase. The good news is gospel. Mark has invented, without even knowing it, a new genre, the genre of gospel. And Mark can't wait to tell us the incredible good news and wastes no time. The good news is salvation, our salvation through Christ. God is coming to save us right here and right now. There's a lot in those few short words. And hold on, because the rest of the gospel reads the same. Mark can't wait to tell us about Jesus. But Mark first introduces us to the character of John the Baptist. Mark portrays him as the Old Testament Elijah from the book of 1 Kings and as a prophet as described in the book of Daniel. He's from the wilderness. He wears camel hair and he eats locusts and wild honey. But we can't really understand John unless we use Isaiah as the frame of reference. In Isaiah, God's people are in the wilderness. They are in exile. They're either scattered by the Assyrians or the Babylonians into foreign lands, or they're living in the ruins of post-apocalyptic Judah. Everything they once knew was gone. Forever. Israel was gone. Judah was gone. The king was gone. The temple was gone. Families were separated. They were in exile, shell-shocked. Where was God? Didn't God care? But God hears their cries of lament and makes it very, very clear that Israel has served her sentence and that her sins have been forgiven. And God tells the servants to prepare a way through the wilderness. God tells the people, I'm coming. My path will be made clear and I'm coming. Make a highway straight and smooth. Fill in valleys, level off hills, smooth out the ruts and clear out the rocks. Then the glory of the Lord can shine through to everyone. Nothing can stop me from coming to you. Except my cold.
Sorry.
As a sidebar, I need to mention that these texts have been very hard to read this week. Not because they're difficult, because they're actually bursting with hope. They're hard to read because I just want to sing them. And thank goodness for you, my voice is not great today, or I would be bursting out in song. This text was put to music by Handel in the classic Messiah. But what I really want to start singing now is with Diana Ross and the Supremes. Ain't no mountain high enough, ain't no valley low enough, ain't no river wide enough to keep me from you. Nothing will keep God from the people. Nothing. The people will be returned by exile, by God's hand. Israel will be restored. God is coming to save them and care for them like a shepherd cares for his flock. And this is good news for the people. In Mark, God announces that this same plan is going to happen again. The Gospel of Mark was written to another community under siege. The city of Jerusalem is occupied by foreigners. The people are divided between submitting to Rome as the path for peace and security or rising up in resistance against the empire. And through John the Baptist, God prepares the way again. John prepares not for a return from exile, but for the long-promised Messiah. God is coming to save them, and this is good news for the people. It's key to note that God doesn't tell the people to do such and such to prepare in either Isaiah or Mark. In Mark, God tells John to prepare the way for the Lord. And God says, prepare the way. I'm coming. I'm coming to save you. You. Get ready. Can't you now hear the song from the 1970s musical Godspell? Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Mark's excitement is contagious. He wants us to know that God is coming. And God's coming is not over in the birth of Jesus. God hasn't come past tense. God is coming, still. So what does this mean for us? It's not hard to see ourselves in exile, like Israel, or occupied by foreigners fighting for political power as in Jerusalem. One glance at the headlines this week identifies yet another school shooting, more sexual misconduct, wildfires, political collusion. One glance into our own lives may show family dysfunction, addiction, loneliness, worry. And yet, if we listen for it and we watch for it, we too will see the work of God. We will hear the work of God breaking into our lives, flattening mountains, narrowing rivers, and shrinking valleys. All this for us. All this so that God can come to us, to be with us, to bring us comfort, and to save us. Yet another favorite song comes to mind here. Listen to the words of Isaac Watts' beloved Joy to the World. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. This breaking in of God into our lives calls us to respond. In Mark's gospel, the people from the whole Judean countryside, all of Jerusalem, were baptized and confessed their sins. They repented, turning from the distractions of their world to be with God. They believed in the good news. What will we do this Advent? To receive the gift of our King, to prepare a room for him, and to sing the good news? Will we turn from the distractions of our world and accept the comfort that God so freely offers us? Or will we hide from God in our busyness, our jobs, our lives, and our own stuff? Mark Allen Powell, New Testament professor at Trinity Lutheran Seminary, can't help but connect John the Baptist with the children's game of hide and seek. In hide and seek, children hide, and they try not to get caught. But eventually, everyone will be found. When John the Baptist shouts, "Prepare the way of the Lord," it is as if God has just shouted, "Ready or not, here I come." No matter where we have hidden, God will find us. That is good news. Amen.